Good morning and welcome to Sunrise 60 Close-Up here on 1230 KHS Radio. Joining us this morning is Dr. Scott Schirmer. And, doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you.
Doctor, the reason we brought you on the program this morning is we wanted to talk a little bit about, as we are here probably a week into the New Year, of course, the New Year's resolutions on everybody's mind, and one of the, in particular, is the quitting smoking, and I wanted to talk with you a little bit about quitting smoking, and first of all, why it's so difficult for people.
Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that it is difficult, and I like the way you asked that question. Clearly, we can't fool ourselves. 18% of adult Nebraskans smoke, for instance, and we know that all about two-thirds of all smokers want to quit, but each individual quit attempt is only successful at about 5% rate after a year. So clearly there are issues. One thing we shouldn't fool ourselves about is nicotine is an addictive drug. We're not used to using the terms addiction and drug with smoking, but clearly we should, because the addiction is as powerful as just about any chemical addiction out there.
Okay. And just talk a little bit about when you get hooked on to that nicotine, what steps can people make to change their behaviors, to change their, addiction towards this?
Well, several steps in the process. First of all, an individual has to decide that they really want to quit. It has to really come from within. And it doesn't always need to happen right away. Often people need to warm up to the idea, and coming up with a quit date is often a very useful technique. Also, it doesn't have to be accomplished alone. In fact, it's rarely accomplished alone. In enlisting the help of those around you, family, friends, co-workers, social support groups are really useful, and use all the resources available to you as you begin the process.
And I wanted to speak a little bit more in specifics about those support groups, about having that support. How much does that do for a person that's trying to quit, even on the mental side of things?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. There are clearly emotional issues which come up. Clearly, this is not easy, and having a shoulder to lean on is very helpful in the process. The families of those around a smoker who's trying to quit are often 100% enlisted in the effort, obviously because they care about the loved one and their health. And so bumps in the road, irritability, et cetera, shouldn't be considered as a major problem, simply because remember that those around you are 100% invested in your effort, and go ahead and share and discuss all the issues that are occurring to you. There are online resources as well if somebody's really looking for sort of a description of the process and maybe even some foreshadowing or more community resources. The American Heart Association, for instance, has a website called AmericanHeart.org, which has lots of interesting information for smokers. There's another website called MyTimeToQuit.com, all one word, MyTimeToQuit, which really helps kind of describe the step-by-step process as well.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk, when you talk about all the people that are encouraging a smoker to quit smoking, one of the things I think that a lot of smokers just don't remember is how many they're affecting in terms of secondhand smoke.
No question about it. And one thing that's very sobering, the research has been a little bit varied in terms of what the effect on secondhand smoke is on adults. I think we can clearly conclude now that it's a hazard to their health. But one thing that really should get everybody's attention, exposure to secondhand smoke for very young children, infants and young children, can have a very deleterious effect on their health later in life. And so clearly think of that. A concerned parent really has no excuses to smoke around a child, because new research shows that even things like lung cancer risk are significantly elevated as later in adult life if the individual has been exposed as a child. So clearly think of that.
You mentioned earlier when you're planning your time to quit, when planning the time to quit and going through all these steps, do you believe in, I guess, commonly been heard of as like sort of the baby step method, and that's making little goals along the way?
That really is an individual technique, and it's unfortunately, you know, as we sit here and talk about this professionally, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Some individuals, the only chance they'll ever have is cold turkey. Others who are perhaps less black and white in the way they approach the world will feel like they do better if they just sort of don't have it all thrust upon them at once. So that varies. There are new prescription medications as well, which, if there's a more dramatic step taken, can really help with the cravings, which sometimes is an impediment to the kind of stopping all at once approach.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, Dr. Schumer, is kind of look outside and we see these cold temperatures as they're starting here in Nebraska. That would be probably one of my main motivational things is since, you know, all these smoking bans are now in place and smokers are they go outside to smoke, these cold temperatures can't be easy on them either.
Yeah, one truism that I think is actually has helped smoking rates drop is it's very hard to smoke these days. It's hard to smoke at work. It's hard to smoke in public, et cetera, et cetera. So one way to think about it is you're actually making your life simpler. Your path through the day becomes much simpler if you're not thinking about how you need to plan a place and time for your next cigarette.
Okay. Well, before we let you go on Sunrise 60 Close-Up this morning, Dr. Schumer, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, if you will, just give us sort of some of the improvements to the health of a smoker that decides that they're going to quit today, they want to quit now. What are some of those improvements that they're going to start to see?
Thank you for bringing that up, because that's a major piece of knowledge that for some reason seems to be poorly circulated. The day you stop smoking, your risk of a heart attack drops dramatically. There are direct toxic effects of tobacco smoke, nicotine, etc., on the heart and blood vessels that supply the heart, and in fact, your stroke risk drops as well. So, the day you stop, your heart attack risk drops significantly, at least by a third, and more than that in some people. About a month after you stop smoking, your lungs' ability to clear debris and bacteria improves as well. So you would then be potentially less prone to things like bronchitis, et cetera, down the road a month later. But the day you stop, your heart attack risk drops significantly.
And I did want to just bring up one more time, you talked a little earlier about some of the agitation that people go through as they're trying to quit smoking. Is this a psychological warfare they're having with themselves, or what brings on the agitation?
I think it's easy to attribute it to psychological reasons, but actually it's part and parcel of the nicotine addiction. Nicotine has very complex effects on the brain and the body. It initially is a mild stimulant, and then it has a calming, sedating effect. It's the nicotine withdrawal that I think is directly responsible for a lot of the agitation, and there is one new medication which isn't right for everybody, but can help with the actual cravings if that's the major impediment to stopping smoking.
Okay, well, once again, it's Dr. Scott Schumer. He is with the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And Dr. Schumer, wanted again, thank you for coming on the program, not only to talk about helpful tips for the smoker who wants to quit, but for also kind of providing us with some of the medical background behind the addiction to smoking cigarettes.
I appreciate your giving us the forum. Thank you very much.